Mark 12.
That's Mark chapter 12. We read Mark chapter 12 from 1 to 32, but we're going to have a particular emphasis upon verses 28 to 32. So Mark 12 with a particular emphasis upon verses 28 to 32. And so let us read those verses from verse 28 to 32 of Mark chapter 12. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he." Once again, the Lord really does put things into perspective with these two of the greatest commandments. And the Lord speaks a parable in the first nine verses of chapter 12. He talks that parable to the religious rulers of that day. And the parable clearly reveals where their heart lay. It clearly reveals where the heart of those religious rulers of that day, the Pharisees, the Herodians, the Sadducees, the scribes, where their heart lay. And he details how that the owner of the vineyard gave them to these husbandmen, let them out, as it were, this great estate, the vineyard, the tower, the wine fat cellar, as it were, gave them all this great estate. And they misused and they abused what they were given by this owner, by this great owner. And the owner went into a far country, and he sent his servants, as it were, to collect what was due to him. And again, the servants were mistreated, they were beaten, they were shamefully sent off empty-handed, as it were, and some of them were even killed and stoned. And we see here how these husbandmen, these tenant farmers, how they were abused and misused. The owner had bestowed such a love to them and giving them, in establishing the vineyard, and giving them a house and giving them a tower for protection, for giving them so many things, and yet they abused the love and kindness. And the owner was very patient with them. The owner kept on sending servant after servant, not punishing them according to the deserts. The Lord of the vineyard could have come and destroyed them after the first servant. And yet, the Lord showed so much long-suffering and patience with them, wanting to correct them, wanting them to come and acknowledge him and to give what was due to him. And finally, the owner of the vineyard sent his son, the one, his beloved son, his well-beloved son, the one that bare his image, that bore his image, the one who is equal, as it were, with the father, the heir, as it were, one who has great authority, and yet they plotted to kill the heir, and they did kill the heir. And of course, this was a picture of how the children of Israel, and in particular the Pharisees and the religious rulers of that day, had hardened their hearts towards the Lord, what the Lord was telling them through the prophets and through the law and the prophets. And they kept on rebelling from God. God, their creator, their maker, the one who showed so much love and kindness to them. And they kept on rebelling. They kept on hardening their hearts. And the Lord in verse 9 asks a question, "What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do?" I've showed so much love and kindness. I've sent my messengers to them. I've called them, as it were, to try to correct them to repentance. I have given them everything, and yet they have rebelled from me. I've protected them. They have been at the apple of my eye, as it were. I've bestowed so much grace upon them. I've given them this great estate and the means for a livelihood, the means to be protected, the means of everything they have, and they have abused it. And not only that, they've gone after other gods and they've rejected me. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? What shall I do? What I haven't done? I've done so much for them, and yet they keep on rejecting my love. They keep on rejecting all that I've given them. What therefore can I do that I haven't done already? And so we see here the Lord's appeal, even at this late stage, to these religious leaders, these hypocritical religious leaders. And so from that moment, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees wanted Christ out of the way and sought violence against him. However, first they would attempt to try to deceive him and to trick him and attempt to tempt Christ with well-planned questions. Now, amongst these self-righteous hypocrites was one scribe, one out of all those, one scribe who heard the gracious words which proceeded from the Lord Jesus. And this caused the one scribe to think seriously about the claims of the Lord Jesus from verses 28 to 32. And so, firstly, to begin with, we are all here compelled to seek out the truth of our existence. While we're here, we are all here, just like this one scribe, we are all here compelled, each and every one of us, to seek out the truth of our existence. And so, in and amongst Christ's reasoning with the hypocritical religious rulers of that day, one scribe's understanding was opened. It was enlightened so that he perceived the words of truth. And this prompted him to inquire and seek more of the Lord Jesus. It says in Psalm 119:94, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. And Ephesians 2 verse 1, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And I believe now this one scribe was being quickened of the Lord. He was inquiring of the Lord. He wanted to find out more of the Lord. And so secondly, we not only are asked to seek the truth, like this one scribe did, we need to listen to the truth. Let me say that again. We're not only asked to seek the truth, but we're also asked to listen to the truth. This one scribe not only sought the truth, but he also was listening to the truth. And so the one scribe, having carefully listened to both parties, the Pharisees and Christ, notice he hearkened not, he listened not to the majority of the voices. He listened not to the peer pressure of his fellow religious rulers. He hearkened not to the pressure he faced, or nor to the majority. And herein lays a principle for us. Be careful of the many, many voices that are bidding for your soul's attention. Be very, very careful for the many voices that are bidding for your soul's attention. There will be many in this world that will take you away from having a relationship with your Maker and your Savior. All these pressure from fellow religious rulers, hypocritical religious rulers of that day, great pressure to go along with the majority, to go on that broad way, as it were, to go along with his fellows instead of going and listening to the truth. But this one scribe was listening to the truth. And so, secondly, we're not only asked to seek the truth, but we need to listen to the truth. Be very careful, dear friends, for the many voices that are bidding for your attention, your soul's attention, the many distractions out there in the world, that the hireling, the thief who cares not for your soul. We need to listen to our good shepherd who has loved us and given himself for us. The one who's truly loved us and given himself for us. Not the hireling, not the person who doesn't care for us. Not the many voices that say, live for yourself, live for number one. Live for your feelings, just do what you want in life. Don't live for those things. Don't even live for your own heart. Live for Christ. Seek the truth and listen to the truth. And if God is speaking to you this day, listen to him. Don't harden your heart. Don't harden your conscience towards him calling you to himself. And so be careful of the many voices bidding for your soul's attention. If you've ever gone to an auction before, you'll know that the auction is saying, they're telling you about a car or something, and there's so many voices saying, 100, 200, 300, 400, and they give you all these different prices and all these different things, and they're all bidding, and that's a bit like the world. Everyone's bidding for your attention. No, you should give yourselves to this. No, you should give yourselves to that. No, you should be doing this with your life. No, you should be going to university. You should be doing this. You should be doing that. You should be doing this. And they want you to do everything but to listen to your Creator and your Savior's voice. They want everything. And so there's a principle here in Scripture. And this one scribe, he's got a hunger within him to know the truth. I wonder if we have a hunger here to know the truth, to listen to the truth. And so thirdly, seeking the truth and listening to the truth is not enough unless it's met with wholehearted belief. So thirdly, seeking the truth and listening to the truth is not enough unless it's met with wholehearted belief. This scribe, he not only sought the truth, he was not only listening to the truth, but he believed in God's words. He believed in God's word. And dear friends, we who are often under God's word and the means of grace, we need to make sure that it's not hasn't just become another thing, another duty, as it were. We need to make sure that when we are seeking and when we are listening, that we are believing in the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we believe every single word. John 12:36 says, while ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be children of light. John 12:36, while ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. Dear friends, if we are under the gospel, if we are reading God's word, if God is giving us the means of his grace to be saved, to have a relationship with him, to know peace with God, and if we continue to harden our hearts against that, if we say, well, okay, I can go to church, I can do these things, but if we're truly not believing what we're hearing from God's words, it's all for nothing. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of the light. Never have we seen today so much nominal Christianity. That's Christianity just in name only, not in power. Because so many people like the name of a Christian. Now, I go to church once a week, and even this week, we've been out on the high street and we spoke to people like that. That, oh, I go to church. I go to church. And that's it. No true love for God there. Just a nominal Christianity. No true love for God. No, all of one's life. True belief in God. Living for Christ as the first in their life. Dear friends, while we have the light, believe in the light so that you may be children of light. Give yourselves utterly to the Lord. Listen to him utterly. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. If we truly do listen to God, and if we're truly believing what we're listening in, if we truly believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, that will have a sanctifying effect upon our lives. And if we think about it, that word sanctify comes from sanctuary, doesn't it? The sanctuary of God, that holy place to come and worship God. That place, the inner sanctuary where people went in, the high priest went in once a year, the holiest of holies, to make an atonement for the people's sin. And so, if we truly believe in God, we are sanctified by God and sanctified by His Word. And if we're sanctified, we're justified. No one has ever saved, no one ever believed in God who was never sanctified and was never justified. And so those who truly listen and seek God believe in God, and they are sanctified through the truth. And His Word is the truth. And so fourthly, if we hear Christ's voice, if we are listening to His voice this day, and if we believe in His voice this day, it will have a sanctifying effect upon us, as it did with this one scribe in verse 28. Because he asked a question, didn't he? He asked the question in verse 28, which is the first commandment of all? Which is the first commandment of all? He listened, he sought, he listened, and he believed. And what did he ask? He asked that question, which is the first commandment of all? He was being quickened. Dear friends, he says, which is the first commandment of all? Which out of all the commandments, out of everything, of all the things that ever did happen in the entire universe, of the whole world, what cannot be ignored? What cannot be ignored in the whole of everything that's ever existed? What cannot be ignored? What has to be the chief thing, what I have to obey? What is the most important thing that I need to obey in the whole of life? Not what that person says, not what this person says, not what all the people are bidding for. What is the most important thing which cannot be ignored? I have to listen to, I have to obey. It has to be chief. It has to be the most important thing of all, of anything that's ever existed. What is man's chief thing in life? What must I do in life? What is my chief responsibility in life? What is it that I have to do? The first thing I have to do for all of us here, what is the first thing I have to do? And this cannot be ignored. This is not optional. Everyone has to listen to this. And so the Lord Jesus tells us in verse 29, Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, and the first part of it, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. So Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. In other words, you who have been so much favored of God, you who God has set His love upon, a bit like that parable, has showed you so much grace, so much love. Are you listening now? Do I have your attention now? The Lord Jesus is saying this to you. Stop playing games with me. Are you listening with me? Are you listening to the Lord Jesus? Do I have your absolute attention? This is the most important thing in your life, the most important thing that's ever been in life. Do I have your attention? Are you truly listening now? Do you truly understand now? The God who has showed such love to us, are you listening now to what He is saying to you? The Lord our God is one Lord. He is one Lord, opposed to many gods. We read in our first reading, Exodus 20, didn't we, earlier? And that third verse, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Is God first in your life, dear friends? Do you truly, when you're listening to God's word, or when you're reading God's word, He is showing you such grace. And if you ignore God's word, if you ignore the chief thing you are to do in life, then you are in grave trouble. Oh, friends, I just pray that all of us here may not only be listening, but we may be believing in Jesus Christ. That we may love Him for who He is. And we may not put anything else in our life. Any other thing in our life needs to come before him. And yes, God is a jealous God. Not as we get jealous. But God knows our frame. He knows what we're like. He knows that if we seek him with half our heart, if we have a backup plan, as it were, a nest egg for a rainy day, if we do that, if we seek, I'll seek God, but I've got a backup. I've got a backup here. I've got a nest egg here. I've got a crutch here to fall upon. If things don't work out with God, I've got something else to fall upon. We could be like that, dear friends. We could have other things to fall upon in our life, dear friends. We could be like that, can't we? We can be like that. Dear friends, thou shalt have no other gods before me. He has to be first, dear friends. And look at the gods that we have in this day and age. The god of sports, the god of entertainment, the love of money, the love of career, the love of music, and the love of all these things. All these things people can be obsessed by, and actually, they can actually take them a long way away from God. And nothing is wrong in those things in themselves. To have a good career, to like music, to kick a football. Nothing is wrong in themselves. But if we put them before God, we're in very, very dangerous territory. The God who showed us such love and grace, if we put those things before God, dear friends, we are in big, big trouble. Because while we have the light, we need to listen to the light. Because the days are coming, dear friends, when that light won't be there. Our heart will get harder. The call may not even be there anymore. We don't know ourselves. Satan is an angel of light. Dear friends, we need to be those who truly believe in God and don't put any backup, as it were. God is not mocked, is he? If we hear his voice this day, give yourselves utterly to him. He is worthy of all honor and praise. Don't have a backup. Don't have a nest egg. Don't have a crutch to fall upon. Say, well, if it doesn't work out with God, with Christianity, I've got other things. I've got other things to fall upon. We cannot love God and mammon. We cannot have other gods in our lives. We have to give ourselves utterly to him in everything. God is not mocked. Do not seek God half-heartedly. Don't do it with half your heart. We have to give our whole heart to him. And I believe this one scribe was. He understood that God has to have a whole heart. It must be done with our whole heart. Our Creator has the sole right to us, doesn't he? He is the one that has given us our lives. He is the one that has given us our souls, our eyes, our ears, our mouths, our strength. He is the one that brings the rain and the sunshine, that gives us the means, that gives us our health. He is the one that sustains our every breath. Dear friends, he is the one that gives us everything. Therefore, ought to have the sole possession of our life. Do we give him everything? Do we bring everything to him? Or do we have a backup, a nest egg, a crutch, which we are not bringing everything to him? It must be done with a whole heart. Our Creator has the sole right to us, and therefore he has the sole possession of us. You know, dear friends, he wants all of me, and he wants all of you. He doesn't want the scraps. He doesn't want the leftovers, as it were, of your life. Don't give God the scraps. Don't give him the scraps. He is a great God, and he is a great King, and he is worthy of all honor and praise. He has made us in his image to have a relationship with us. He has made us the pinnacle of his creation. And he has sent his only son into the world. Remember that parable in the beginning of this chapter, Mark 12. Sent his only son to be a sacrifice. His well-beloved son. His son that he spent eternity past with. Imagine spending all that time. It's beyond time. And yet he sent his son, and his son was separated from him. That's how much he loves you. And would you not love him with all your heart? Would you not love him with all your mind, with all your strength? Would you hold something back from him? Would you selfishly think, well, I still want this in my life, I still want to hold to this in my life? Would you do that? Or are you today, are you hearing God's voice today? And truly, you're going to seek Him and put all of your trust in Him. You're all in. Everything on the line. Nothing wanting, nothing wavering. You're all in. Will this day, if God is speaking to someone this day, are you going to be all in for the Lord? Or are you going to keep on holding something back from Him? And so, if He be one, our hearts must be one with Him. For there is no other God like Him. He is not the God of the gods of this earth. They don't have the many false gods of this world. They have ears, but they cannot hear us. They have eyes, but they cannot see us. They cannot save you. They want you. They're a bad employee. They're a bad employer. They want you in their service. Satan wants to employ you, and he will promise you much, but deliver little. But, dear friends, God promises. What God promises, He gives. He is not fickle. And so, He is a great God and a great King. You must be serious, dear friends. Let me say that again. You must be serious about God. Don't come to God half-heartedly. I once heard of a famous commentator on the news, or I think it was on a famous sports commentator, who said he went out and he shouted and cried in his garden for 2 days on end. And at the end of that 2 days, he didn't hear God. He didn't feel like he had God. And so he gave up Christianity altogether. He went out and he went into his garden, as it were, and he was quiet and he cried and he did all that for 2 days. And after that, he completely gave up Christianity. That's not the way that we seek, dear friends. He has the words to life, to eternal life. Where shall we go from the words of life? We have to be all in. Either, like Jacob, either you bless me or I'm lost. We wrestle with you. Either you bless me, I'm not going to let go of you, Lord. I'm going to cleave to you, Lord. I'm going to, all night, every week, every month, every year, I'm going to cleave to you until you bless me, until I know I'm yours and you're mine. And I know that you love me. Everything, all in, dear friends. You must be serious. Everything must be on the line. No backup. No crutch. No thing to lean upon in this world. You have to be 100% in. And so the first of the greatest commandments, we read in verse 30, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." This is the first commandment. Hey, dear friends, what is the most common word in that first of commandments? And a lot of people could completely just ignore this commandment. The main word in this commandment, it's the word all, isn't it? The word all. And this can be often spoken about, even in Christian circles. But dear friend, the main word in this is all. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. With everything that you've got, friends, don't hold something back. Don't seek half-heartedly. Have you truly sought the Lord, listened to the Lord, been serious to the Lord, and believed Him with your whole heart? Have you truly done that? Sought Him and given up everything, saying, everything I count but dung so that I can win Christ. I truly want to be made right in Christ, to be, have a relationship with my Maker, to be set free, to know the truth. That will set me free. And I'm truly now going to seek God with everything on the line. Nothing, holding nothing back. With all the heart, with all of one's affections and desires, with all your heart, with all your affection, with all your desire, with all your soul, with all one's hopes for eternity, with all your aspirations, for security for your eternity, with all your mind, with all your understanding, the understanding that God has given you, with all your understanding, your mind, keeping your mind pure, keeping your mind fixed upon God, with all your strength, the body that God has given you, the vineyard that God has given you, to use it for His glory. And you can't do this, dear friends. You can't do this of your own. You have to be born again. You have to. And you have to seek God and listen to God with your whole heart. You have to do it with everything that you've got. Otherwise, the Lord will not listen to you. If you come to Him half-heartedly, He will not listen. Why? Because if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. If I seek God and I secretly want other things in my life, I've got other crutches, another backup plan, another nest egg in my life. I've got mammon, as it were, the things of this world secretly enticing me. Secretly I want those things more than God. He will not hear me, and therefore it has to be done with all of our hearts. This is the first of the greatest commandments given to us. The first, to love God with everything that He has given us, dear friends. And look at that parable. The owner of the vineyard gave them everything. He gave them the means to work, the means to labor, the means to have an income, the means to eat, the means for protection with a tower, the means to preserve their food with the fat cellar, as it were. He gave them all these means. And what did they do? They abused and misused what they were given. Our temples are the body of God. Our souls, dear friends, will last forever. How have you used your souls, dear friends? We could be so selfish sometimes, can't we? We can be so self-absorbed. Dear friends, to love God with everything that you have means that you've got to love God more than you love yourself. I've got to love God more than I love myself. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. In all your ways, don't love God for what you can get out of Him. Love Him for who He is. So are you putting other things, prioritizing other things before God? Who owns your affection? Does God own your affection? Or is your affection yours? Does the world have your affection? Do the things of this world have your affections? Are you being lured, as it were, by the things of this world? Or does God have your affection? And notice in that first commandment, it is to love God without any strings attached. To love God without any strings attached. To love God, it doesn't say to love God because He can save you. It doesn't say to love God because He can help you in different circumstances in life. To love God is to love Him for who He is. He is the fount of every blessing. He is the one that we live and breathe by. He is the source of all goodness, of all love and peace and comfort and kindness in the universe, dear friends. God is the source and fountain of every blessing here below. And that's why we who are Christians have such a concern for the lost. Because where will the lost spend eternity? Eternally separated from God. Now, people who are not yet Christians, they can enjoy common grace. They can enjoy kindness. They can enjoy love. They can enjoy common graces like we all enjoy now. But imagine in hell, dear friends. Imagine what it would be like in hell. A place where common grace is gone. You're eternally separated from God. No love. No peace, no kindness, no comfort. Imagine that, eternally separated from God. And dear friends, that's where we are headed if we truly do not come to Him and love Him as we ought. If we truly do not come to Him with everything on the line, we'll be eternally separated from God. A place like it's your worst nightmare. A place of constant regret. Remember that man. With that man with Lazarus, the rich man, constant regret, constantly thinking, only if I did that, Only if I turn to God. Dear friends, we don't want that to happen to anyone. Anyone. Come to the Lord with everything that you've got. Come to the light while you have the light. Otherwise you'll be eternally separated from God in darkness forever. God is worthy of that, dear friends. Love God for who he is. And so the first of the Lord's greatest commandments lays a great foundation for our obedience to the rest of the commandments. Like it, the passage said, it's the stone which the builders rejected. The Israelites, the Jews, rejected the stone. They were so much blessed of God. They had this great stone, this foundational stone. And the builders in those days used to build upon a great stone. The house used to be, they used to dig deep, and the house used to be fixed upon a stone. And when the storms of life came, the house would hold firm because it was built on the stone. And they rejected that stone, as according to the prophecy. I really hope and pray there's none here in anyone's heart that is rejecting that cornerstone. The chief commandment to love God with everything that you've got. If you reject that, dear friends, that cornerstone is actually a stumbling block. It's gone. And what stone, what is going to be the chief stone then? It's going to be sinking sand, dear friends. If you remove that chief stone from the foundation, you're on sinking sand. And everything in your life will fall apart. Will fall apart. Dear friends, we need that foundational stone. And you know what? If we love God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength, all the other commandments will fall in place. Because love is the leading affection of the soul. Love makes us want to do the other commandments. No one ever did the other commandments aright. Dear friends, if they did not obey that first commandment. And that's not to think any little of any of the other commandments. They are all great commandments because they come from a great God. But love has to be the leading affection of the soul. And if there is no true love to God first, if there's no true love to God, if God's not first in your life, no other duty that is done and is done aright, because it's not done. It's not done for the right reasons. We have to love God first. We have to give ourselves utterly to God first. And so no commandment will be grievous if the first commandment is loved. That's what the Bible says, that we'll delight in the commandments. Because we love God, we're born of God. We'll delight in them. And so God must be loved first and put first without rivals. Without rivals, without competition. Don't have competition in your heart, in your affection. Don't, as it were, bring other things in your life as competition against God. He is a jealous God because he wants you all to himself. He knows that if you love mammon and him, mammon will take you away. Eventually, it will take you away from the things of God. Don't love God with rivals. God must be loved first. And so the second commandment, or the greatest commandments, is to love our neighbour as ourselves. And so, to truly love our neighbour as ourselves, we have to first love God, don't we? We have to first love God. And the love that the Lord here is describing is not a Hollywood love. Let me just make that clear. And again, this is much mistaken of in Christian circles as well. To love God first and to love our neighbours is not a Hollywood love. To love God is to obey his commandments, is to love the truth. And sometimes the truth means that we need to hate our sin. And we need to speak the truth in love. And so to love God is not a Hollywood love. It's a love which is in line with what the Bible says. A love that gives oneself. Christ gave himself for us, and we, as it were, give what he has already given to us straight back to him by his grace. To love our neighbour as ourselves, we have to truly love the first commandment. And to truly and sincerely love as we love ourselves, we must therefore love God more than we love ourselves. If we truly want to love our neighbours, we have to love God more than we love ourselves. We have to be able to give up our selfishness and the things that we want in life if we truly want to love God the most. We must love neighbours as ourselves, for they too are made in the image of God. They too partake of our nature. And they too can know of God's grace and saving mercy and saving grace. And dear friends, let us make sure that we are loving. When it's talking about our neighbours here, it's not just talking about our direct neighbours. It's talking about everyone. Everyone, our enemies, anyone who we come across, our neighbours. Let us make sure, dear friends, especially us who are Christians, are not growing cold in our love towards people. And we can, as Christians, we can become very sceptical, and actually we can become very cold in our walk with the Lord. We need to put aside our selfishness and what we want in life, and we need to love God, put Him first, and to love ourselves, be kind and loving in a biblical way, and be honest with them, and to try to seek to win them for the Lord. And so, because they are no different from us, they are made in the image of God. They were children once. And so we need to truly seek to point them to Christ in how we are as people. And if our neighbours be fellow Christians, how much stronger should our love be to them? We should have fervent love to those who are the household of grace. We truly do. We need to have a fervent love for them. Have not one God created us? Malachi 2:10. Has not one Christ redeemed us from our sin? And Christ has well said, there is no other commandments greater than these. For in these all the commandments, if you keep these two commandments, to love God with everything that you have and to love your neighbour as yourself, you fulfil all the commandments. You fulfil every single commandment if you keep these two commandments. If we seek to obey God in these two greatest commandments, we with good conscience will be in obedience to them all. And we will have a great respect to all the commandments and seek to obey all the commandments if we love these two of the greatest commandments straight from the lips of the only Saviour of sinners. And so the law of love to God and to our neighbour is better than any burnt offerings and sacrifices. The Lord wants your heart, dear friends. He doesn't want sacrifices. He doesn't want to see you whipping yourself like some do in Italy down the high street in festivals to see if you can suffer as much as Christ. He doesn't want that. What He wants is your whole heart. What He wants is your whole mind, all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. That's what He wants, more than burnt offerings and sacrifices. And so the one scribe's reasoning, it was not blinded. This one scribe's reasoning was not blinded, nor his judgment was biased. He truly was listening to God, and I truly believe that the Lord saved him. And the Lord actually said, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. The kingdom of grace and glory. From becoming a Christian, Christ's words and teachings direct us to saving faith in Christ. Are we listening here? Are we listening to God's voice here now? Not mine, I'm just a man. But God's word. Are we truly here? Are we paying attention, every one of us? We have to seek God with our whole heart, dear friends. With everything that we've got. If not, we're going to be lost for eternity. In darkness for eternity. It has to be with everything, dear friends. And like the Lord says, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. I believe that this one scribe was saved. But you know, dear friends, it is possible to be not far from the kingdom of God and not be saved and still to go to hell. Do you know that? It is still possible that thou art not far from the kingdom of God. There are many, many Christians, nominal Christians, who get to a certain point and they go no further. They are not far from the kingdom of God. They go to church. They may say their prayers over dinner, a quick prayer, perhaps. They may do certain things, but God doesn't have all of their heart. God doesn't have all of their mind. God doesn't have all of their strength. They haven't truly sought the Lord and believed in God. They've got a backup. They've got a nest egg. They've got a crutch. But dear friends, God has to have all of our hearts. And so, is that true of you? Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Is there one here that perhaps the Lord is speaking to you today and he wants all of your heart, and you haven't yet given him all of your heart and sought him with everything that you've got? No other things beside. And when I mean that, I say you've sought him with everything, and there's nothing, everything is on the line. You don't have any other hope or secret backup or nest egg planned. I really hope and pray that is true. Amen. Once again, let's sing to God's praise. 690. Oh, for a heart to praise my God. Oh, for a heart to praise my God.